Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Hey, we are 25 minutes away from Minnesota Twins pregame. Game two between the Royals and the Twins. We'd said on Final Pitch that this is a big series for the Twins. This is kind of the pivotal series to find out if you are going to get yourself back into the race for the American League Central, or if you're going to have to figure out that second or third wild card spot. Well, last night, not a good night for the Minnesota Twins. They fall 5-0 to the Kansas City Royals and Cole Reagans. And on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Minnesota Twins beat writer Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune. And Bobby, I don't know how to describe last night for the Twins offensively other than just the word ugly. I mean, it was just ugly. They only had one scoring opportunity. And I mean, Kyle Farmer was out by, what, a good 10 to 15 feet?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those. I mean, you have to give some credit to Cole Reagans. He's been a dominant pitcher all year, fourth time he's faced the Twins, and still able to have that ability where he can kind of shut down an entire lineup for six innings. So I think you have to give credit to them for that. I know Kyle Farmer and Christian Vasquez were they said they were talking together, just saying, wow, they haven't really missed a spot. They're not making mistakes. So even the relievers that pitched yesterday. So it was one of those, combined with the fact the Twins haven't been hitting well lately. But, yeah, I mean, it was an ugly performance, ugly way to start a big series on the road, a 5-0 loss. And as you said, I mean, the one opportunity they had, and, you know, it's one of those, I don't know if I fault Tommy Watkins for sending Kyle Farmer. You tried to create some momentum. You're down a run. Christian Vasquez on deck, and then obviously he didn't have the speed to get to home plate. Great throw by Bobby Witt to get Kyle Farmer out, but yeah, tough one overall.
You know, it's one of those situations as I'm watching it, I understand you want to make them make a play because against Cole Reagans, you're only going to get a limited number of opportunities. But I think this kind of encapsulate what can happen to this team offensively at times. Like, there, you can see them be very, very good. And then at other times, they just go through these offensive lulls. And as I was reading your article today, you know, one thing that stands out to me is, you know, when you said they've scored more than four runs just once in their last nine games, they were shut out for the ninth time this season. There are times where this team offensively, they get in these lulls where they can't hit themselves into any sort of rhythm.
Yeah, and I think injuries are playing a part right now. I mean, you take away Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, Max Kepler. You know, that's three of your top four or five hitters right there that aren't in your lineup and aren't going to be back, you know, relatively soon. Royce Lewis, as good as he's been throughout his career, hit a rough patch over the last few weeks, maybe last month. So, you know, like Jose Miranda hasn't been hitting lately. So, I mean, it's one of those, the injuries are combining with guys that are just kind of on the downside of a slump and haven't been able to get out of it. I mean, you look at guys like Willie Castro's provided such a spark this year. He struggled the last few weeks. They just haven't really had those guys that have, Andrew Julian kind of stepped up with his homer the other day in Tampa Bay where he got them the early lead and they ended up winning. But they just really haven't had any of those kind of guys been able to carry an offense for three or four days at a time. It's been, you know, one game here, one game there, but no one's been able to step up and, you know, have a great week to carry an offense that's missing a lot of firepower.
Talking with Bobby Nightingale, Twins beat writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune here on Sports Saturday. Chris Tubbs in for Steve Thompson. Game two between the Twins and the Royals coming up in about an hour's time. You mentioned kind of all of the things that are going wrong for this offense. I know that I want to ask you about the injuries here in a minute, but with 3 weeks left to go in the regular season, and I feel like at this point, the focus shouldn't necessarily be on the division. I think, you know, solidify your position in that wild card and make sure that you're not caught by a Seattle or a Boston or, you know, even a Detroit. But with 3 weeks left to go, and this offense being where it's at, is there any concern right now, or is it just one of those that, hey, we're in this funk, but we have enough time to right the ship and create a little bit of momentum before we hit the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think there's some frustration with the way they've played, the frustration just kind of how you felt like you had a chance to win the division, and now it's kind of slipping away. I mean, I think they're five games back with 21 left, and Cleveland has the wild card or the tiebreaker. So you're really six games back. So, I mean, that's almost impossible ground to make up, six games in 21 days, even though they'll play each other next week or in 2 weeks. I think it's also they have a four-and-a-half-game buffer over Seattle. They haven't really been punished for as poorly as they've played the last 2 weeks. And, you know, this has been probably their worst stretch of the season. They really haven't fallen, you know, standings-wise in the wild card race. They're pretty much where they were when they started losing. So, the fact is, I mean, it's one of those, if you just are able to turn it around at some point in the next 3 weeks, you should be able to at least get a wild card spot. You're only a half game behind Kansas City, and you have the tiebreaker over Kansas City. So the second wild card's not out of play either. So I think it's one of those, you're frustrated with the way you're playing, but you're also in a good spot compared to, say, 2022 when injuries piled up and they fell out of the playoff race.
You know, as you're talking about the wild card, I know a conversation that started to come up a little bit, and I don't know if we're going to get more chatter about it, Bobby, is playoff positioning. Is it better to get, you know, the second or third wild card? Do you really look to avoid whoever is the wild card out of the American League East or the division winner? Do you look at which wild card potentially sets up playoff, or is that something at this point that you don't even think about and you just make sure that you're playing your best baseball no matter what your playoff seeding is?
Yeah, I think it's just play your best baseball. I think it's a little too unpredictable, especially this far out. You know, maybe the last weekend of the season, maybe there's some of that going on. But right now it's too far. I mean, you don't know who's going to win the American League East. The Yankees and Orioles are within a game of each other. Cleveland and Houston could battle for that second seed, and you know, that'll depend, you know, the loser of that will play a wild card team. So you might end up playing Cleveland or Houston if you're the last wild card team. So still too many variables up in the air with this far to go. Maybe the last weekend of the season, maybe that comes into your mind, especially, I mean, the Twins finish against Baltimore. So maybe if they ended up playing Baltimore, maybe you change your pitching matchups or something. But I think that's a conversation for later.
Talk with Bobby Nightingale, Minnesota Twins beat writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune here on Sports Saturday. Chris Stubbs in for Steve Thompson. So those injuries, you mentioned Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, and then Max Kepler. I'm glad that they made the move with Kepler to get him on the IL, because if that knee was balking, the last thing you want to do at this point, Bobby, at least my opinion, is short yourself one position on the bench and always have one of these day-to-day situations. What is the prognosis for all three of these guys? Are we looking at anything imminent? I know that Buxton, you know, got pulled out of that game when, you know, he got thrown out in, you know, St. Paul, but I'm not really reading into that. What is the prognosis right now, especially for Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa, if we have any?
Yeah, there's not much. I mean, Byron Buxton got ejected, but he felt hip pain right before it, so you know, probably contributed to his anger when he got ejected, and then he's still being evaluated. But obviously, he's not in Kansas City, so his return's not imminent. He's probably going to have to play in another rehab game, I would assume, just to make sure he's okay. So you're looking at sometime next week would be the best case scenario, but that's if they don't find anything when he's being reevaluated. And then Carlos Correa, I mean, plantar fasciitis has sidelined him since the All-Star break, and I don't know if he's any closer right now to coming back. I mean, it's one of those probably looking at weeks instead of days. Still has to be able to run at 100%. Still has to be able to find cleats. That it's a little bit of a different situation than last year. He played through plantar fasciitis last year, but the difference this year is it's in a different foot. It's the same foot that caused him to, you know, flunk the physicals in his free agent deals with the Giants and the New York Mets. So I think there's a little bit more concern there with that foot in terms of, okay, if it, a worst-case scenario, if it, you injured that one more, what would happen? So I think he has to be a little bit more cautious. I think there's still optimism he'll be back this year, but I think that one's going to take a little bit more time.
And the Carlos Correa, it's just kind of – it's been enigmatic because we just have not, since the All-Star break – we haven't heard much. It's kind of been radio silence. And even when, you know, we're trying to figure things out, it's like there's just not a whole lot of information. So I think we have a tendency to maybe, you know, be a little more pessimistic, but I would like to, when this team is healthy, I feel like their lineup is right now, it could be as good as anything in the American League. But the question is, you got to get healthy. And I think that's just a luxury right now that the Twins might not even have.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the thing. I mean, with the playoff buffer, you know, when you have a 4.5 game lead against Seattle, I think it gives you kind of at least more of a chance to say, okay, rest Carlos Correa as much as possible, bring him back at the end of the season, and, you know, give it a go during the playoffs. Same thing with Byron Buxton, if everything checks out with his hip. Max Kepler, same thing with his knee. I mean, it's one of those things, maybe you force it a little bit if you're, you know, tied in the wild card race and you don't know if you're going to make the playoffs. Maybe you have to hurry some decisions. I think this gives them a little bit more of a luxury in terms of just saying, okay, make sure it's calmed down, make sure everything's okay. But all three of those guys have a chance to return this year, at least as of right now. So I think that's the optimistic view. But I think you're right. I mean, when they're healthy, the offense looks a lot better. Obviously their pitching is going to be a little bit worse just because you're not having Joe Ryan or Chris Paddock. But it's one of those, when the lineup's healthy and you can get some offense, you can live with some of those rookie starters when you're able to provide a little bit more run support.
Last thing I want to ask you about, Bobby, is the other night in Tampa, when Louis Varland was the, you know, the bulk reliever, had a couple of good innings, and then things kind of got away from him. And that kind of seems par for the course that, Louis, there are times where when things start to get rolling, he's unable to stop that snowball from really accelerating downhill. Well, the move has been made now to put him into the bullpen, and we saw how good he was last year out of the bullpen. To me, I think, even though it might not be what Louis wants to do, I feel like this is just a way to really strengthen that bullpen. And when you've got these rookie starters like a David Festa, or Zebby Matthews, or a Simeon Woods Richardson, when you're going to be throwing these guys, if you can add another arm like Louis Varland to the bullpen, I feel like in a playoff situation where, you know, a best of five, I feel like this makes that Twins bullpen, you want to maybe accentuate that strength, and I feel like it does that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, that was a big debate last offseason, was there whether just to keep him as a reliever anyway, or, you know, let give him another chance at starting. You know, they let him start. Obviously, didn't have the success that he wanted. But, I mean, he's been electric out of the bullpen when he's throwing 100 miles an hour. His cutter's almost unhittable.
Well, he can he can let it rip for two innings. He doesn't have to worry about, you know, it's like just go there and just throw gas.
Yeah, and even if you look at his numbers as a starter this year, I mean, guys didn't hit him the first time through. So, I mean, I think that's the exciting thing is just, you know, it's usually the second, third time through the orders when the damage is done against him. But I think you're right. I mean, look at him, add him to a bullpen with Griffin Jacks, Joan Duran, Cole Sands, Jorge Alcala. You know, that's a solid bullpen when you're talking about having a lead in the seventh inning, sixth inning, and turning it over to those guys. And Louis Varley can give you multiple innings. Yeah, I think that could be a huge weapon going forward.
All right, Bobby Nightingale. Hey, man, appreciate the time. It's great to talk to you on a sports Saturday. I know that you got a lot of things going on, you know, right before game time. So appreciate you taking some time out and helping me kind of set the table before we get to the lineup card at the bottom of the hour.
Of course, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. There's Bobby Nightingale, Twins beat writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune. There's just something about baseball in those Nightingale boys. I mean, they're kind of good at that. They're kind of good at that baseball thing for the Minnesota Twins. And, of course, his dad is a legendary Major League Baseball writer for the USA Today. We're going to take a break. When I come back, we'll get into a little bit more Twins, and we'll take you to the bottom of the hour. The Minnesota Twins in a much-needed, you need a win, kind of right the ship. You want to start to feel good about yourself, especially when you've got a series against the Angels coming up. But I know it won't make J-Lo happy, but we're cheering for the Twins. We'll get to some more Twins as we take you up to Twins baseball, bottom of the hour, here on your home for Twins baseball, News Talk 830 WCCO. Is tonight the night good things happen for the Minnesota Twins in Kansas City? What Minnesotan hasn't had a good Saturday night in Kansas City? Come on, let's just be honest. I've had plenty of good nights in Kansas City. My wife from Missouri was, I mean, some of her best friends are in Kansas City. Kansas City's a good town. I'm not just saying it because you hear J-Lo. Kansas City's an awesome town. It's a great area. I love it.
That's
I do.
You can say it because I'm here. That's fine. Okay. I agree with that.
But you gave North Dakota State some love, so I figured I got to try and suck up right back.
As a guy who recently in the last few years has kind of been through that area, because mm-hmm. I went to Hayes to cover some St. Cloud State basketball.
Oh, Hayes, Kansas.
I'm more of an Overland Park guy. It's the Eden Prairie of Kansas City. It's a nice, little area.
I knew you were a Johnson County guy when I met you. Johnson County.
Is that supposed to, to quote Shania Twain, that don't impress me much. like that?
Overland Park. Overland. It seems like a nice area. I went to Shields there. It's a nice little spot.
Well, you go to you don't have to go to Overland Park to go to a Shields.
I was trying
to
get OU gear, but apparently everybody loves Kansas sports. That OU had this little tiny side cap compared to everybody else.
Overland Park, it's going to be heavy KU. Who would have thought? I bet if you go to Columbia, it's going to be heavy Mizzou.
Overrated.
Stop.
As an stop OU guy, I could say that.
Knock it off. Knock it off. You know, I'm going to look at you the same way that I'm going to look at the Royals tonight, with pure disdain. Here's your Minnesota Twins lineup for tonight. Second baseman Eddie Julian is going to be leading off. You've got Trevor Larnach in left hitting second. Your designated hitter is Jose Miranda. Right fielder, one of our own, Matt Wallner. He's a big dude. He's super strong. Hits a ball a long way. Hopefully he'll hit a lot of balls a long way tonight. Best third baseman in the league, Royce Lewis, is going to be hitting fifth. Brooks Lee, shortstop, hitting sixth. Catcher Ryan Jeffers, seventh. Carlos Santana hitting eighth. And Kiersey, the center fielder, just called up. He is hitting ninth. Bailey Ober on the bump. Let's go to the also-rans, the stars and scrubs of the Kansas City Royals. Tommy Pham, you get him for cash, leading off, playing right field. The guy who should be the MVP, Bobby Witt Jr., but he won't because people love chicks dig the long ball, and Aaron Judge has got like 900 home runs, so everybody's going to love that. But Bobby Witt Jr. should be the American League MVP. Sal Perez, the ageless one, is hitting third. MJ Melendez in left field. And then you've got Paul DeJong, DeJong, whatever he's calling himself nowadays, he's hitting third. Michael Massey hit a home run last night. Good for him. Felix Fermin is your catcher. Robbie Grossman, the former Twins legend, is your designated hitter. Kyle Isbell is playing center field. And Randy Marsh pitching for the Kansas City Royals. No, it's not Randy Marsh, but you know what? Hopefully we can...
Alec Marsh.
Randy Marsh. Randy Marsh. All right, that'll do it for us. Twins baseball coming up next right here on your home for baseball, CCO.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, we are 25 minutes away from Minnesota Twins pregame. Game two between the Royals and the Twins. We'd said on Final Pitch that this is a big series for the Twins. This is kind of the pivotal series to find out if you are going to get yourself back into the race for the American League Central, or if you're going to have to figure out that second or third wild card spot. Well, last night, not a good night for the Minnesota Twins. They fall 5-0 to the Kansas City Royals and Cole Reagans. And on the John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Hotline, Minnesota Twins beat writer, Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune. And Bobby, I don't know how to describe last night for the Twins offensively other than just the word ugly. I mean, it was just ugly. They only had one scoring opportunity. And I mean, Kyle Farmer was out by, what, a good 10 to 15 feet.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those. I mean, you have to give some credit to Cole Reagans. He's been a dominant pitcher all year, fourth time he's faced the Twins, and still able to have that ability where he can kind of shut down an entire lineup for six innings. So I think you have to give credit to them for that. I know Kyle Farmer and Christian Vasquez were they said they were talking together, just saying, wow, they haven't really missed a spot. They're not making mistakes. So even the relievers that pitched yesterday. So it was one of those combined with the fact the Twins haven't been hitting well lately. But yeah, I mean, it was an ugly performance, ugly way to start a big series on the road, a 5-0 loss. And as you said, I mean, the one opportunity they had, and you know, it's one of those, I don't know if I fault Tommy Watkins for sending Kyle Farmer. You try to create some momentum, you're down a run, Christian Vasquez on deck. And then, obviously he didn't have the speed to get to home plate. Great throw by Bobby Witt to get Kyle Farmer out. But, yeah, tough one overall.
You know, it's one of those situations as I'm watching it, I understand you want to make them make a play because against Cole Reagans, you're only going to get a limited number of opportunities. But I think this kind of encapsulates what can happen to this team offensively at times. Like, there, you can see them be very, very good. And then at other times, they just go through these offensive lulls. And as I was reading your article today, you know, one thing that stands out to me is, you know, when you said they've scored more than four runs just once in their last nine games, they were shut out for the ninth time this season. There are times where this team offensively, they get in these lulls where they can't hit themselves into any sort of rhythm.
Yeah, and I think injuries are playing a part right now. I mean, you take away Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, Max Kepler. You know, that's three of your top four or five hitters right there that aren't in your lineup and aren't going to be back, you know, relatively soon. Royce Lewis, as good as he's been throughout his career, hit a rough patch over the last few weeks, maybe last month. So, you know, like Jose Miranda hasn't been hitting lately. So, I mean, it's one of those, the injuries are combining with guys that are just kind of on the downside of a slump and they haven't been able to get out of it. I mean, you look at guys like Willy Castro's provided such a spark this year. He struggled the last few weeks. They just haven't really had those guys that have, Andrew Julian kind of stepped up with his homer the other day in Tampa Bay where he got them the early lead and they ended up winning. But they just really haven't had any of those kind of guys been able to carry an offense for three or four days at a time. It's been, you know, one game here, one game there, but no one's been able to step up and, you know, have a great week to carry an offense that's missing a lot of firepower.
Talking with Bobby Nightingale, Twins beat writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune here on Sports Saturday. Chris Tubbs in for Steve Thompson. Game two between the Twins and the Royals coming up in about an hour's time. You mentioned kind of all of the things that are going wrong for this offense. I know that I want to ask you about the injuries here in a minute, but with 3 weeks left to go in the regular season, and I feel like at this point, the focus shouldn't necessarily be on the division. I think, you know, solidify your position in that wild card and make sure that you're not caught by a Seattle or a Boston or, you know, even a Detroit. But with 3 weeks left to go, and this offense being where it's at, is there any concern right now, or is it just one of those that, hey, we're in this funk, but we have enough time to right the ship and create a little bit of momentum before we hit the postseason?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think there's some frustration with the way they've played, the frustration just kind of how you felt like you had a chance to win the division, and now it's kind of slipping away. I mean, I think they're five games back with 21 left, and Cleveland has the wild card or the tiebreaker. So you're really six games back. So, I mean, that's almost impossible ground to make up, six games in 21 days, even though they'll play each other next week or in 2 weeks. I think it's also they have a 4.5-game buffer over Seattle. They haven't really been punished for as poorly as they've played the last 2 weeks. And, you know, this has been probably their worst stretch of the season. They really haven't fallen, you know, standings-wise in the wild card race. They're pretty much where they were when they started losing. So, the fact is, I mean, it's one of those, if you just are able to turn it around at some point in the next 3 weeks, you should be able to at least get a wild card spot. You're only a half game behind Kansas City, and you have the tiebreaker over Kansas City. So the second wild card's not out of play either. So I think it's one of those, you're frustrated with the way you're playing, but you're also in a good spot compared to, say, 2022 when injuries piled up and they fell out of the playoff race.
You know, as you're talking about the wild card, I know a conversation that started to come up a little bit, and I don't know if we're going to get more chatter about it, Bobby, is playoff positioning. Is it better to get, you know, the second or third wild card? Do you really look to avoid whoever is the wild card out of the American League East or the division winner? Do you look at which wild card potentially sets up playoff, or is that something at this point that you don't even think about and you just make sure that you're playing your best baseball no matter what your playoff seeding is?
Yeah, I think it's just play your best baseball. I think it's a little too unpredictable, especially this far out. You know, maybe the last weekend of the season, maybe there's some of that going on. But right now it's too far. I mean, you don't know who's going to win the American League East. The Yankees and Orioles are within a game of each other. Cleveland and Houston could battle for that second seed. And, you know, that'll depend. You know, the loser of that will play a wild card team. So you might end up playing Cleveland or Houston if you're the last wild card team. So still too many variables up in the air with this far to go. Maybe the last weekend of the season, maybe that comes into your mind, especially, I mean, the Twins finish against Baltimore. So maybe if they ended up playing Baltimore, maybe you change your pitching matchups or something. But I think that's a conversation for later.
Talk with Bobby Nightingale, Minnesota Twins beat writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune here on Sports Saturday. Chris Stubbs in for Steve Thompson. So those injuries, you mentioned Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, and then Max Kepler. I'm glad that they made the move with Kepler to get him on the IL, because if that knee was balking, the last thing you want to do at this point, Bobby, at least my opinion, is short yourself one position on the bench and always have one of these day-to-day situations. What is the prognosis for all three of these guys? Are we looking at anything imminent? I know that Buxton, you know, got pulled out of that game when, you know, he got thrown out in, you know, St. Paul, but I'm not really reading into that. What is the prognosis right now, especially for Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa, if we have any?
Yeah, there's not much. I mean, Byron Buxton got ejected, but he felt hip pain right before it, so you know, probably contributed to his anger when he got ejected, and then he's still being evaluated. But obviously, he's not in Kansas City, so his return's not imminent. He's probably going to have to play in another rehab game, I would assume, just to make sure he's okay. So you're looking at sometime next week would be the best case scenario, but that's if they don't find anything when he's being reevaluated. And then Carlos Correa, I mean, plantar fasciitis, has sidelined him since the All-Star break, and I don't know if he's any closer right now to coming back. I mean, it's one of those probably looking at weeks instead of days. Still has to be able to run at 100%. Still has to be able to find cleats. That it's a little bit of a different situation than last year. He played through plantar fasciitis last year. But the difference this year is it's in a different foot. It's the same foot that caused him to, you know, flunk the physicals in his free agent deals with the Giants and the New York Mets. So I think there's a little bit more concern there with that foot in terms of, okay, if it, a worst-case scenario, if you injured that one more, what would happen? So I think he has to be a little bit more cautious. I think there's still optimism he'll be back this year, but I think that one's going to take a little bit more time.
And the Carlos Correa, it's just kind of – it's been enigmatic because we just have not, since the All-Star break, we haven't heard much. It's kind of been radio silence, and even when, you know, we're trying to figure things out, it's like there's just not a whole lot of information. So I think we have a tendency to maybe, you know, be a little more pessimistic, but I would like to, when this team is healthy, I feel like their lineup is right now, it could be as good as anything in the American League. But the question is, you got to get healthy, and I think that's just a luxury right now that the Twins might not even have.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the thing. I mean, with the playoff buffer, you know, when you have a 4.5 game lead against Seattle, I think it gives you kind of at least more of a chance to say, okay, rest Carlos Correa as much as possible, bring him back at the end of the season, and, you know, give it a go during the playoffs. Same thing with Byron Buxton, if everything checks out with his hip. Max Kepler, same thing with his knee. I mean, it's one of those things, maybe you force it a little bit if you're, you know, tied in the wild card race and you don't know if you're going to make the playoffs. Maybe you have to hurry some decisions. I think this gives them a little bit more of a luxury in terms of just saying, okay, make sure it's calmed down, make sure everything's okay. But all three of those guys have a chance to return this year, at least as of right now. So I think that's the optimistic view. But I think you're right. I mean, when they're healthy, the offense looks a lot better. Obviously, their pitching is going to be a little bit worse just because you're not having Joe Ryan or Chris Paddock. But it's one of those, when the lineup's healthy and you can get some offense, you can live with some of those rookie starters when you're able to provide a little bit more run support.
Last thing I want to ask you about, Bobby, is the other night in Tampa, when Louis Varland was the bulk reliever, had a couple of good innings, and then things kind of got away from him. And that kind of seems par for the course that, Louis, there are times where when things start to get rolling, he's unable to stop that snowball from really accelerating downhill. Well, the move has been made now to put him into the bullpen, and we saw how good he was last year out of the bullpen. To me, I think, even though it might not be what Louis wants to do, I feel like this is just a way to really strengthen that bullpen. And when you've got these rookie starters like a David Festa, or Zebby Matthews, or a Simeon Woods Richardson, when you're going to be throwing these guys, if you can add another arm like Louis Varland to the bullpen, I feel like in a playoff situation where, you know, a best of five, I feel like this makes that Twins bullpen, you want to maybe accentuate that strength, and I feel like it does that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, that was a big debate last offseason, was there whether just to keep him as a reliever anyway, or give him another chance at starting. They let him start. Obviously, didn't have the success that he wanted. But he's been electric out of the bullpen when he's throwing 100 miles an hour. His cutter's almost unhittable.
Well, he can let it rip for two innings. He doesn't have to worry about, it's like just go there and just throw gas.
Yeah, and even if you look at his numbers as a starter this year, I mean, guys didn't hit him the first time through. So, I mean, I think that's the exciting thing is just, it's usually the second, third time through the orders when the damage is done against him. But I think you're right. I mean, look at him, add him to a bullpen with Griffin Jacks, Joan Duran, Cole Sands, Jorge Alcala. That's a solid bullpen when you're talking about having a lead in the seventh inning, sixth inning, and turning it over to those guys. And Louis Varley can give you multiple innings. I think that could be a huge weapon going forward.
All right, Bobby Nightingale. Hey, man, appreciate the time. It's great to talk to you on a sports Saturday. I know that you got a lot of things going on, right before game time. So appreciate you taking some time out and helping me kind of set the table before we get to the lineup card at the bottom of the hour.
Of course, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. There's Bobby Nightingale, Twins beat writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune. There's just something about baseball in those Nightingale boys. I mean, they're kind of good at that. They're kind of good at that baseball thing for the Minnesota Twins. And, of course, his dad is a legendary Major League Baseball writer for the USA Today. We're going to take a break. When I come back, we'll get into a little bit more Twins, and we'll take you to the bottom of the hour. The Minnesota Twins in a much needed, you need a win, kind of right the ship. You want to start to feel good about yourself, especially when you've got a series against the Angels coming up. But I know it won't make J-Lo happy, but we're cheering for the Twins. We'll get to some more Twins as we take you up to Twins baseball. Bottom of the hour here on your home for Twins baseball, News Talk 830 WCCO. Is tonight the night good things happen for the Minnesota Twins in Kansas City? What Minnesotan hasn't had a good Saturday night in Kansas City? Come on, let's just be honest. I've had plenty of good nights in Kansas City. My wife from Missouri, some of her best friends are in Kansas City. Kansas City's a good town. I'm not just saying it because you hear J-Lo. Kansas City's an awesome town. It's a great area. I love it.
That's okay.
You
can say it because I'm here. That's fine. Okay. I agree with that.
But
Thank you.
But you gave North Dakota State some love, so I figured I got to try and suck up right back.
As a guy who recently in the last few years has kind of been through that area, because mm-hmm. I went to Hayes to cover some St. Cloud State basketball.
Oh, Hayes, Kansas.
I'm more of an Overland Park guy. It's the Eden Prairie of Kansas City. It's a nice, fancy little area.
I knew you were a Johnson County guy when I met you. Johnson County.
Is that supposed to, to quote Shania Twain, that don't impress me much. like that?
Overland Park.
Overland.
It seems like a nice area. I went to Shields there. It's a nice little spot.
Yeah. You don't have to go to Overland Park to go to a Shields.
I was trying
dude.
To get OU gear, but apparently everybody loves Kansas sports. That OU had this little tiny sidecam compared to everybody else.
Overland Park, it's going to be heavy KU. Who would have thought? I bet if you go to Columbia, it's going to be heavy Mizzou.
Overrated.
Stop.
As an stop OU it. Guy, I could say that.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
Knock it off. You know, I'm going to look at you the same way that I'm going to look at the Royals tonight, with pure disdain. Here's your Minnesota Twins lineup for tonight. Second baseman Eddie Julian is going to be leading off. You've got Trevor Larnach in left hitting second. Your designated hitter is Jose Miranda. Right fielder, one of our own, Matt Wallner. He's a big dude. He's super strong. Hits a ball a long way. Hopefully he'll hit a lot of balls a lot of long way tonight. Best third baseman in the league, Royce Lewis, is going to be hitting fifth. Brooks Lee, shortstop, hitting sixth. Catcher Ryan Jeffers, seventh. Carlos Santana hitting eighth. And Kiersey, the center fielder, just called up. He is hitting ninth. Bailey Ober on the bump. Let's go to the also-rans, the stars and scrubs of the Kansas City Royals. Tommy Pham, you get him for cash, leading off, playing right field. The guy who should be the MVP, Bobby Witt Jr., but he won't because people love chicks dig the long ball, and Aaron Judge has got like 900 home runs, so everybody's going to love that. But Bobby Witt Jr. should be the American League MVP. Sal Perez, the ageless one, is hitting third. MJ Melendez in left field. And then you've got Paul DeJong. DeJong, whatever he's calling himself nowadays, he's hitting third. Michael Massey hit a home run last night. Good for him. Felix Fermin is your catcher. Robbie Grossman, the former Twins legend, is your designated hitter. Kyle Isbell is playing center field. And Randy Marsh pitching for the Kansas City Royals. No, it's not Randy Marsh, but you know what? Hopefully we can...
Alec Marsh.
Randy Marsh. Randy Marsh. All right, that'll do it for us. Twins baseball coming up next right here on your home for baseball, CCO. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead. Be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.